My name is Steve Lane, and I'm very, very pleased to be a part of the care team at First Church here, and I'm very pleased to be a part of today's Laity Sunday. Pastor gave me a working title for our message today, which is, Who Am I? I thought about it, and not being one to follow directions, I immediately added to it. Who am I? What can I do? Why do I do what I do? And what do we do? You got it? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Who am I? Last week, Ed Lupke told you about using his gifts in creativity by writing. And today I've asked Ed to come and share one of his poems with you. Ed?
I'm going to start by rereading the second scripture, the one that Debbie did so eloquently just a few minutes ago. For in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, and the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassion in cheerfulness. Who am I? You're about to find out. I am a man of many names. Some I like more than others. Mr. Lupke, I will answer to. Or sometimes when I hear, Hey you! Ted Dad or Dear is fine, and Brother fits right in. But if you call me Eddie, or even Teddy, I will raise a din. Only niece Mickey would ever dare to call me Uncle Teddy Bear. Mr. Ed I like, or even Uncle. But if I really have my druthers, Granddad is the name I want to hear above any of the others. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Who am I? It's something to think about. By this stage of my life, I know who I am. I know each and every fault that I have. I know the mistakes that I've made. I also know some good deeds. I've also felt the Holy Spirit, and I live by the grace of God. This all makes up who I am. And then there's still that other annoying thought, who do you think I am? Am I a person that uses my gifts? Am I a person that shares my gifts? Every child of God is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, specially gifted to play a unique and valued role in the body of Christ. No one is without a gift of purpose. We're not given spiritual gifts to keep them for ourselves. We're gifted to give ourselves to others. Spiritual gifts are not our talents or our skills. They are the grace of God at work within each and every one of us, empowering us to match our deep passions with the world's deep need. The gifts are given to individuals, but they are given to help build and strengthen community and to meet the needs of those around us. Each and every one of us has a desire to be a part of something truly meaningful in our lives. We want to do something that has true meaning and a purpose. And what could have more meaning, more lasting value, than to spend your life connecting with God's eternal purpose? The local church is God's planned organization to fulfill His purpose. And for the church to operate effectively and efficiently, every member of the church needs to be using the unique gift God has given them or to her. Excuse me. The Greek words used for gift looks to us like charisma or charisma. They break it down and you end up with other words. Car, charis, joy, grace, and the gift that you have received. All described by breaking one word down. There's an inseparable link between joy, grace, and spiritual gifts. The Bible says that when we receive the gift, the grace of God through Jesus Christ, that with the grace comes a spiritual gift. And when we exercise that gift, we experience true joy in the fulfillment of life. The gifts of God and the will of God comes with a certain amount of responsibility. Not only acceptance, but willingness to seek God's will. Christmas time is always associated with gifts, so are birthdays. Everyone looks forward to receiving them. Everyone looks forward to opening them, especially the people that sold them. The normal response is to open the gift, rip off the paper, and see what's inside from that person who has given you the gift. You think that would be the way that people respond when it comes to spiritual gifts and the willingness to give and to pour into a person's life? God has. But that's not usually the norm. For far too many, the search for a number of excuses comes to mind to avoid God's gifts and will for a person for their entire life. Do you seriously think that God can't use you? Do you think God only calls people who are perfect? He calls upon the imperfect as well. For too many, feel insignificant, unprepared, unworthy, and ill-equipped to volunteer and participate in God's will for them. Far too often we sell ourselves short of what God only knows. God knows that with His help, we are capable. We are so capable that we can accomplish all things with God's help. Do you suppose Jonah felt like he was capable of being a citywide evangelist? Do you suppose Moses felt like he was equipped to lead millions of people to freedom? Do you suppose Mary felt worthy to wash the feet of Jesus and to dry them with her hair? All of them felt inadequate. All of them felt insignificant, unprepared, unworthy, and ill-equipped. Yet God saw their greatness and used each one and every one of them, because they stepped out into the will of God and the amazing assignment that God had for them. And God has an amazing assignment for each and every one of you. Always questions come up about spiritual gifts. Usually it's whether the ones that are mentioned in Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, and Romans are exclusive. That those 16 to 20 spiritual gifts, are they the only ones that the Spirit gives? Those lists, which are all different, are they meant to be just examples, or are they only possibilities? The Barna Company, a research institute in California, decided to find out. So they did a survey. They got answers that they had never seen before. More than one-fifth of the survey claimed to have spiritual gifts that aren't mentioned in the Bible. And they were unsure if these were gifts. And they included a sense of humor, my health, my life, happiness, patience, the fact that I have a job, and the fact that I have a house. Maybe not spiritual gifts. But it got my wheels turning. And while it may be risky to step outside the framework of the Bible, the possibility of other spiritual gifts brings up some interesting ideas. How do we sort out gifts and skills? Skills may be or may include working the microphone, the sound, the lights, drama, a heavenly gaze, and everybody's favorite, the gift of looking hot even though I can't sing. Spiritual gift. Perhaps these are skills to use with our gifts. Still, sometimes I wonder how people sort out gifts, talents, and skills. We need to use our skills to do that. During the French Revolution, there were three Christians who were sentenced to die by the guillotine. One Christian had the gift of faith. The other had the gift of prophecy. And the third had the gift of helps. The Christian with the gift of faith was to be executed first. He was asked if he wanted to wear a hood over his head. He declined and he said, "I am not afraid to die. I have faith that God will deliver me." His head was positioned under the guillotine with his neck on the chopping block. He looked up at the sharp blade and said a short prayer, and he waited. The rope was pulled and nothing happened. His executioners were amazed, believing that this must have been an act of God. They freed the man. The Christian with the gift of prophecy was next. His head was positioned under a guillotine blade, and he too was asked if he wanted the hood. "No," he said, "I'm not afraid to die. However, I predict that God will deliver me from the guillotine." At that, the rope was pulled again. Nothing happened. Once again, the puzzled executioners assumed this must be a miracle from God, so they freed the man. The third Christian, who I believe to have been a Methodist, I have no clarification to that. You know, the one with the gift of helps. He was brought to the guillotine and likewise asked if he wanted to wear a hood. "No, I'm just as brave as the others." The executioners then placed him face up on the guillotine block. And they were about to pull the rope when the man stopped them. "Hey, wait a minute," he said. "I think I just found the problem with your guillotine." Using your gifts, it's what it's all about. Why do we do what we do? The care team visits the sick in hospitals and nursing homes. We take communion to those that are shut in or couldn't make it to the service. We make calls to see if you're okay after a hurricane. Each Sunday we spend time at Solaris, a nursing home in North Naples, and we take them service, music and song and a short message. Why do we do that? Why have we done that for over 6 years? I can tell you it's the joy. If there was no joy in what we do, we would not continue. The joy comes from sharing God's love and God's word. The joy comes from watching people who may not remember what they had for lunch, but they can join us in reciting the Lord's Prayer. They can sing with us without music because they know the words. The joy comes from meeting the people. We've met some interesting people over the years. There was Lorette, who's still with us. She was a Rockette. We also met Elaine, who was a hand model in Paris for Christian Dior. We also met Gladys, who told us that she was from Immokalee and that she was a tomato picker. Well, in time, we find out things. Maybe in the beginning, Gladys was a tomato picker, but she did run a restaurant in Immokalee where no one ever left hungry, even if they couldn't pay. There was Doris, who was there, who told us that with her husband, they used to take in foster children. That's all she said. And later, there came out an article in the Naples Daily News about Doris and her husband, who took in over 200 foster children in the time that they had together. And then we met Marvin. Marvin was on his deathbed. Each year we go down and we play Santa and the helpers, and we let the residents have their pictures taken with Santa Claus, and they can send them out to their family and friends. We came upon Marvin in his room. He was dying, but he was awake. And he was asked if he'd like his picture taken with Santa. And he nodded. And we took the picture. And the picture came back, and we passed it on to his relatives. And they were so excited because in that picture, Marvin had a smile. And they hadn't seen a smile in months. Joy. Joy in people's lives. Do you feel the joy when you serve at Cafe of Life? You put your skills with your gifts and with the gifts of others to feed the hungry or to clothe them. And I'm not talking just about nursing homes or feeding the hungry, or maybe you come to the after school program and you tutor. The thoughts just keep coming. And I will tell you this about spiritual gifts. Knowing your spiritual gifts helps you understand God's will for your life. Knowing your spiritual gifts helps you understand how the Holy Spirit works through you. Knowing your spiritual gifts helps you know what God has not called you to do. Knowing your spiritual gift relieves you from serving out of duty. Knowing your spiritual gift fills a deep inner need. And knowing your spiritual gift builds unity among Christians. And knowing your spiritual gift adds to your self-acceptance. In order to serve according to our giftedness, we must make sure that we not only understand spiritual gifts, but we must discover, develop, and deploy our gift mix. You may have more than one. You may just not have discovered it. The best investment that we can make with our life is to use what God has given us to bring honor and glory to the Father. This approach will lead us away from many of the dangers of life. It will enable us to share the blessings of God, and it will lead us into that indescribable joy of hearing the Father say, "Well done." Remember that the Lord expects us to become available in exercising our gifts. He does not ask about our ability or our inability. He only asks about our availability. Use every gift and skill that you've been given, everywhere, anywhere, wherever you can. Use them with love. Use them without hope of reward. Use them for the sheer joy of serving our Lord. Then perhaps we can understand the differences between our gifts, our skills, and our fruits of the Spirit. Begin the journey. Discover your gifts. Talk about your gifts with others. Strive together to understand your gifts and how you can use them to serve God, your neighbors, and the world. You have been gifted. You have been given a purpose. Amen.